Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore, and I'm flying solo this week for another SmackDown audio review. Usually, Jake Barnett joins me to do this, and usually we do this on Saturdays, but Jake is on vacation. It is his birthday, so happy birthday, Jake, if you hear this, and if you're listening to this, you're an idiot, my friend. It's your birthday. Stop listening to wrestling podcasts and go back and enjoy yourself. He is on vacation enjoying his day off, like I said, his birthday. And I had a scheduling conflict on Saturday, so this got bumped till Sunday, so this will be up Sunday afternoon, and whenever you're listening to it, thank you very much. We do this each and every week for you guys right here on .net. Jake Barnett and I get together every Saturday morning, again, generally speaking, and do a SmackDown audio review, but you know it's not the only audio we do each week here on the site. We do a little over 6 hours of audio on the .net site each and every week, but it is exclusive to our members. We do an audio breakdown of all the major shows, WWE Raw and, of course, SmackDown, as I mentioned, plus TNA Impact Wrestling. Raw is done by Jason Powell. Impact Wrestling done by Will Pruitt. Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett get together every Wednesday for the .net countdown, where they look at the best and the worst in professional wrestling each week. Jason does a weekly Q&A audio where members can ask both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. We also, Jason and I both will do short one-shots with short audio clips for things, you know, news that breaks in between some of the bigger audios that we do, say Raw each week or SmackDown. And, of course, Jason and I get together every Thursday for .NET Weekly. We call it our flagship show. It is a news review. We look at all the major news of the week. We often break news that's not made its way to the site yet. And that's each and every week Jason and I do that. We create all that audio exclusively for our members. And if you'd like to get access to all of that audio and at the same time get access to the ad-free version of the site, access to the .NET member forum, and access to the .NET member blog section, all you need to do is sign up to be a .NET member. Head on over to ProWrestling.net, look on the right-hand side of the page for the .NET member sign-up. Click there, and we will get you started. $7.50 a month if you take the monthly option. We'll knock $2 off each and every month if you take the annual option, just $5.50 a month. And lots of things going on. Of course, the Raw 1000 week, and great big Raw on Monday night did a huge number, of course. If you've seen the ratings by now, you know, just a massive number for that show. Most watched show on cable television, third most watched show of the week, only behind the Gordon Ramsay vehicles, Hell's Kitchen and MasterChef. So huge television week for WWE Raw. And SmackDown kind of felt like an afterthought in the process. It wasn't a bad show by any stretch of the imagination. Of course, this is the SmackDown that aired, just so we're clear, July 27th, taped on July 24th in Kansas City, Missouri, and it wasn't a bad show at all. The first hour went by very fast. I thought that first hour was entertaining. It kept me engaged. The time went by really quick. The first half of the second hour, though, was rough and stagnant and had a lot of the undercard guys that don't really mean a whole lot and I think are quickly starting to get lost in the shuffle a little bit. And then the second half of the second hour, and particularly the main event, the last quarter hour, the Fatal 4-Way match for the number one contendership, great match, took real advantage of the stipulation. They had a lot of fun with that match. And, of course, that's the only real news coming out of this show. It wasn't a very newsworthy show, except that you get Alberto Del Rio is your new number one contender. And, you know, the reason it was kind of funny when it was over, I was like, oh, there's no real news coming out of this. And in retrospect, I should have put up, you know, new number one contender crowned on SmackDown, Alberto Del Rio, because that's a big deal. But he has been misused so bad, and this feud with Sheamus has been done so poorly for him that it's news, but it feels like old news. It's almost like you don't care. You have to wonder a little bit if Del Rio has anything left to bring, any type of spark left. He's not adapted his character in any way. He's not progressing. I don't know how much of that is creative and how much of that is him. Certainly we know that creative can be very bad in WWE, and especially when it comes to character development. So I don't know who's holding the bag right now, but whatever it is, it amounts to a very boring Alberto Del Rio. And he's very good in the ring. He's a lot of fun to watch. But, you know, from a gimmick standpoint, he is Ricardo Rodriguez. And if you take Rick Rod out of the equation, I don't think there's much left there for Del Rio right now in the way of interest. And I've been a big supporter of the guy. I've argued with members. Those of you who are members know, you've probably seen me fight about it with other members on the site. People who say they see nothing in him, I think, are fools. But he is wearing out his welcome very quickly. But he's not the only one. He's got a lot of undercard guys who are being put through the same process right now. And again, don't know if it's them, don't know if it's creative, but there's a lot of people that are just really losing their oomph right now on WWE television, especially on the SmackDown side. Unfortunately, one of them is your new number one contender. Now, what is not clear from the show, if someone saw it, please let me know. I missed it. I put this in my report. I put this in the hit list. I tweeted about it, if I remember correctly. I don't know, when Del Rio gets his title shot. I don't remember them saying this was for SummerSlam, almost positive. They did not say that it was for SummerSlam, so I expect to see this on SmackDown sooner rather than later. It might even be next week. They might hype that on Raw this week, which would be fine as long as they hype it. But I just don't know when he's going to cash this in. And with that being the case, it keeps SummerSlam in a little bit of speculation right now. There's a lot of different ways they can go with Del Rio and Sheamus at this point. They've had really good matches, but like I said, it's getting old fast. And so I don't think this will ultimately be your SummerSlam main event. Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio might both be in a world title match, but don't be surprised if it's not another multi-man match. I think it's possible. We've seen it before. It's rare, but we have seen it before where they will have both world title matches, WWE and World Heavyweight title matches, be essentially the same match, two multi-man matches. And so I think we can expect it for sure on the WWE Championship side, and I would not be surprised if it ends up that way here. Not saying I think they will. I have no feeling for what they're going to do yet, but I do think it's possible that that we see a multi-man match, a third person added to this mix somewhere down the line. It could be someone replacing Del Rio. But I don't think it's Sheamus and Del Rio again at SummerSlam in a singles match. I really don't think that. So, but that was the big news of SmackDown. And so we'll take this thing apart from start to finish. And then when I'm done, we'll look ahead to Raw 1001, since I made you guys wait an extra day for the show, and since I'm flying solo today, I will do just a little bit more. And because this audio is not going to be very long, because SmackDown, while entertaining at times, was very, very, very uneventful. So we'll run through the show and talk about WWE Raw 1001, a show that I argue is infinitely more important than Raw 1000 ever was. But let's talk about SmackDown first. We get the very first thing out of the box is an extended video, probably close to a minute, 90 seconds, something like that. Showing highlights of Monday's 1000th Raw. They ran through all the high points all the way down and closed up with CM Punk and hitting the GTS on The Rock. And the way they framed it, the way they used the shocking, somber music and kind of went to black and white with like a sepia color over top of it, and it was... I really felt like they were trying to say CM Punk was a heel. And that's what came across to me, and I know a lot of people out there disagree with that. There are a lot of people who I've gotten emails, and, no, that's not look at this, look at this, look at this. It certainly feels like WWE is trying to set him up as a heel, and there may be a swerve down the road. You never know. If this swerved into a Cena heel turn, if everybody bought into the fact that it was CM Punk that was turning heel, and he was the bad guy, and Cena was going to be the good guy, and they swerved into a Cena heel turn, we might have to do some CPR on some people. I think there's some of you who are listening who wouldn't make it. You would be a little thrown out by that development. But at any rate, I do think he's turned heel. I think WWE is setting it up as that. It was a good video package, showed all the big moments. We got our opening video, the pyro, Michael Cole, Josh Matthews, and Booker T, as always, check in on commentary. We get hyping the number one contenders match, and then we get Lillian Garcia introducing The Miz. It was an overdub. It was an obvious overdub. It was a little strange. I'm not sure what happened there. But an obvious overdub with Lillian Garcia introducing The Miz. Miz comes out, cuts a very short promo, says that our video shows him winning the Intercontinental Championship on Monday night. He said that the people cost Christian the title because they voted overwhelmingly for that match. He started to do his catchphrase. He said, you know, I'm the Intercontinental Champion because I'm The Miz. And that was as far as it got because Christian's music cut him off. Christian came out and said, let me guess, you were going to say, I'm awesome. And said, well, here's what's awesome. I'm not waiting. I'm cashing in my rematch clause right now. First match of the night, straight out of the gates. Nice work, WWE. And a good long one, too. The Miz defeating Christian in 13 minutes and 26 seconds to retain the Intercontinental Championship. This was right into a match. We got just a couple of, you know, really, God, probably you can count the number of total sentences both guys said on two hands. You know, I mean, yes, we had the video and whatnot, but as far as coming out of the standard entrance, we get the hype for the main event, blah, 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 fight. I was impressed. It was a different way of opening. They rarely go straight to the ring. And I really liked it. And it was a good match. It was a good match. The finish on it came, these guys were switching reversals. It was, you know, very fast-paced wrestled match. Both guys laying it out, and they got into a series of reversing each other's finishers. Miz ends up hitting a thumb to the eye, and then when Christian starts swinging haymakers, just trying to protect himself, Miz slips underneath one and rolls up a schoolboy with a handful of tights for the victory and retaining the championship. A commercial break in the middle of it, but still a good long match to open the show. When they do open with a match, rarely do they go that long with it. So, you know, it was a good opening for WWE, and it. A good match for Miz and Christian. It, as far as entertaining, there's no heat on the Intercontinental Championship right now. There's nothing there that is exciting to people. There's nothing there that is compelling and making people want to see. But you know, Miz has got an opportunity. Miz is a guy who I think has the ability to have a good long title run and to not have to. I think just having the title on him will bring some prestige back to the title. And you know, he's a guy, he's a great talker. He can, you know, he does all the right things, says all the right things. You know, but until they've diminished that title since they put it on Cody. Cody was kind of doing something for it, and then when Cody got manhandled, the Intercontinental Championship got wrapped up in the middle of all of that, so it got manhandled. And it wasn't in great shape before that. So, you know, fun match, but it just didn't mean anything. And we, you know, I don't know if it was just a kind of a holding steady week. You know, sometimes they'll put them in a circling pattern where we're not going to do anything this week and we'll start the big build for SummerSlam next week. So maybe that's what the thought idea was. But mostly everything that happened on this show except for that final match was mostly meaningless, and that was the situation with this. But a good match. If you're looking for a good match, you could do worse than Miz and Christian. Not the best match of the night. Main event gets that, but still a very good match. We come back from commercial, and Jinder Mahal has made his ring entrance. He is putting his hat, his turban, into the box at ringside. We finally find out, after all this time, what the hell that box is for, and it's because he doesn't want the rest of the WWE Universe touching his hat. That's it. That's the sole meaning. He doesn't want the peasants touching his hat. But all that work for that. It just seems unbelievable. Our second match of the night, Jinder Mahal. Well, Ryback, actually, defeating Jinder Mahal by countout in about 3 minutes. Forgot to press start on my timer for this one, but around 3 minutes or so, you get, Mahal, it's kind of most like every Ryback match. You get Mahal starting out fast, Ryback comes right back, hits that big boot where he drives him to the ground, but Mahal chops the leg, knocks him down, starts pounding on him. Here comes Ryback, starts, you know, hulking up, powering back, and Mahal says, screw it, I'm out of here. Slides out of the ring, runs up the ramp, and lets the ref count him out while Ryback's in the ring. I think they did real damage to Ryback here. I really do. The more I think about this, I didn't like it that night, and I kind of glossed over it when I did the hit list, but the more I think about this, the more I think they did real damage to Ryback here by having him lose by this cheesy count out. It, you know, he just beat two WWE superstars in a handicap match, and he can't, the best he can do with Jinder Mahal is a count out. He can't put Jinder Mahal away in 3 minutes. He can put away two, you know, a WWE tag team in five, but he can't put away Jinder Mahal in three. That's, they did damage to him here, and the crowd was incredibly flat when he was standing in the ring and staring at Mahal. Now, our correspondent said he didn't think, you know, he was at that show and at the Raw 1000 show, so the two crowds were not even close to each other. That's a little bit unfair. One was Raw, which is usually going to get a livelier crowd, and with all the surprises and all the stuff and the 1000th Raw and everybody in there realizing they were part of history and blah, yeah, those two crowds aren't going to be the same. It's not even really fair to the second crowd to compare them. But that said, they got up a couple of times, but not here. They were dead for this. They did not seem like they could have cared in the least, and it was a real miss for them and for Ryback. It's not anything that's unrepairable, obviously, but they did damage to him. There's no question about that in my mind. They did real damage. After commercial, we revisit the CM Punk and Rock situation at the end of Raw. They replayed pretty much the entire tail end of Raw with CM Punk knocking out, of course, The Rock and hitting him with the GTS. I was really paying attention at this point to the announce team when they came back because I wanted to see if they were going to try to hint. Booker T took up for CM Punk, whereas Cole said, you know, he felt like there was an explanation. It was not Booker being heel, and it wasn't, and it was really Cole being kind of babyface in the way he was saying it, which says to me it's a Punk heel turn. I mean, that Booker T is going to turn on Punk. Oh, I cannot believe I thought he was doing the right thing, but now I see that he's, you know, whatever, and Cole going, you know, he's doing the right thing here, and all, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it's a CM Punk heel turn. I mean, to me, if Cole's babyfacing him and Booker T's kind of healing him, then, yeah, it's going to end up being a heel turn. Why? Is there anything wrong with my logic? I don't think so. We get our tout videos of people talking about what happened with CM Punk and The Rock. We get cut backstage where Daniel Bryan is sitting in his locker room, and he looked very sad. I have to say, like he'd been crying. I'm not saying he was, but his eyes were kind of bloodshot. I thought that was a nice touch. Luck or something intentional, I don't know. Sheamus walks in and starts cracking on him, listening to all the bad things that happened to him, and Bryan gets in his face and goes, are you crazy? Do you think I'm done with AJ? I'm not. Rock won't be back for another 6 months, and Charlie Sheen, who cares about him? Well, Sheamus handed him, he goes, you know what, you're right, I got you a present. He goes, I was going to give it to you, as a wedding gift, I was going to give it to you for your, I thought it'd help you on your wedding night, but I just couldn't help myself, I wanted to give it to you anyway. So he hands him the box, he walks out. Bryan makes a crack about the wrapping job, opens it up, pulls out a book, looks at the cover, gets all pissed off and says, do you think this is funny? It's not. He slams the book down and storms out. The camera zooms in so that we can see the title of the book, How to Last Longer Than 18 Seconds. And, of course, the front cover is a picture of Daniel Bryan getting a bro kick in the face at WrestleMania. And we went into commercial, and it was a joke. Everybody get it? It was a sex joke. It's 18 seconds, you know, like on his wedding night, and because, you know, he lost in 18 seconds. And look, just real quick about the whole 18-second thing. I am not the guy who was all, you know, been out of shape, they screwed Bryan, blah, blah, blah. To me, it's, you know what, I paid $70 for that pay-per-view. I wanted to see Daniel Bryan and Sheamus wrestle. It's got nothing to do, honest to God, I don't feel like he was buried. He's been in the best storyline in all of wrestling over the past couple of weeks, couple of months. I am not in any way, shape, or form bagging on WWE for what happened there as far as Daniel Bryan and how he was treated, the internet darling, and that sort of thing. But I paid $70. I wanted to see that. I didn't want to see Brodus Clay and his mama out there dancing. It was funny. Some people enjoyed it. That's cool. I didn't. I wanted to see Sheamus and Daniel Bryan wrestle. So for me, when I get upset about that, it's honestly just, I paid for something and it was not delivered to me in the way I thought it was going to be, and that made me unhappy. I not enough to where I can demand my money back. They presented what they promised. I just don't think it was, you know, presented in the appropriate way. So there you go. That's part of the reason. I mean, that's the reason why I hate that whole 18-second thing and why it drives me crazy is I was looking forward to that match and on the biggest stage and wanted to see, you know, what they would do if they would go out there and try to wow it out. And instead, we got a kiss and a bro kick, and it kind of pissed me off. So, but let's move on. We won't rehash all that here. We get a video recapping the six-man match that JR helped cause, and that led to our third match of the night. Sheamus defeating Cody Rhodes at 13 minutes and 28 seconds. We had three longer TV matches this week, three 13-plus minute matches. Opening match, this one in the main event. Another just really entertaining match from Sheamus and Cody Rhodes, and, you know, a lot of fun to watch. The finish on it, we've got a lot of back and forth. Cody is getting some offense in, and he went for the beautiful disaster kick, and Sheamus ducked it, and Sheamus hits the bro kick for the win after, you know, he hit it. I'm pretty sure he hit White Noise. I got distracted at the end. I was watching at our clubhouse, and some people came in and walking in front of the TV and whatnot, and I had a moment where I didn't really see what led to the finish. But I did see the bro kick and the win. Dolph Ziggler had come out just before the commercial break. His music had hit. He had made his ring entrance with Vicky Guerrero going into the commercial in the middle of the match. He teased jumping in the ring, obviously, especially when Cody was winning, he teased it more, but even at the end, he teased getting in the ring. He pulled off his shirt just up on the apron, acting like he was going to get in, popped back down to the floor and went to back up the ramp, but Chris Jericho ran out wearing blue jeans and one of Dolph Ziggler's pink t-shirts. He slid Ziggler in the ring, who took a great bro kick and, of course, sold it like a champ. Jericho made faces at him, kind of whined, you know, made the crybaby face at him, got in the ring, hit him with a code breaker, another finisher, to leave Dolph laid out. Jericho took his shirt off, threw it on Ziggler, and left to chants of Y2J, Y2J, with Vicky Guerrero screaming at him from the floor. You know, again, the match was very good, and I enjoyed it, but it was absolutely meaningless, and Cody, you know, Cody didn't need to lose again. I don't think they should have put Cody in that match. You know, don't get me wrong. He was the right guy to lose in that match, but I don't think you put him in that match. He's been so marginalized. It's so bad. Since, you know, WrestleMania, he has just been bleh. And I hate it so much. Cody is such a talented performer that I just don't get it with that guy. But they, you know, they got past it pretty quick, and it was obvious to use that really to set up, to get both those guys on TV and to set up Ziggler and Jericho, which, quite frankly, I complain a lot about WWE creative. Sometimes they get it right, and they got it right here. There are two reasons they got it right here. One, the feud's going to be great. I just have every reason to believe that Jericho, you know, we haven't been able to cheer Chris Jericho in a long time. We cheered him a little bit when he first came back this time. But he was always trolling us, and people were booing immediately and that sort of thing. So, you know, to really cheer him hasn't happened since his return the second time. And he wasn't babyface very long then before going to the heel character that was so good and that he essentially brought back here with a little more flash to it, the same character, but just a little more flash. And so it's going to be neat to cheer him again. Ziggler and he can bump around like nobody's business, and everybody's going to make, you know, both guys are going to want to work hard to make the other one look like $1 million. Ziggler does it for everybody. Jericho does it, you know, he loves doing it for the younger guys. He loves making them look great. And you're going to be able to build a star in Ziggler and build him to that moment where he can cash in that briefcase. Really smart move by WWE here. I like it a lot. After commercial, we get our fourth match of the night, Antonio Cesaro defeating Santino Marella in 2 minutes and 3 seconds. Oksana gets a little distraction in on Santino, who goes for the Cobra. Cesaro ducks it, drops him on the top rope, and hits his weird, Styles Clash, front, face buster, something, whatever the hell he calls his move. I don't know if they've gotten the name for it yet. But we get, a real quick 2-minute match. Cesaro gets the win. The announce team wonders out loud, does this mean that he's next in line for a U.S. title shot? They made a big deal about Cesaro promising big things. You know, now that Raw 1000 is over, it's time to move on to bigger things. I think Antonio Cesaro is your next U.S. champion, folks, and I think it happens sooner rather than later, and certainly no later than SummerSlam. We get a video that recaps Damian Sandow's interaction with DX on Monday, taking the super kick and the pedigree from the two main members of DX. Sandow shown walking backstage, and after commercial, we get his ring entrance for our fifth match of the night, Damian Sandow defeating Yoshitatsu in 1:16. All Sandow here, total squash on Tatsu, beats his ass all over the arena, hits him with the rough knees, and the straightjacket neck breaker for the win. Cut a very brief post-match promo where he claimed to be a martyr, like he had promised DX he would be. He did the "you're welcome" bit and walked off. Basic stuff from him, you know, good, same basic stuff we've seen in the match. I think the guy can work. It certainly appears that way. You know, we got a little bitty short promo from him that was kind of basic for him, but, you know, I mean, good stuff. But he needs a foil. He and Ryback need a path. They both need something specific to do. Right? I'm not buying Ryback as just murdering his way through the roster anymore. It's too much like Goldberg. It's not working. People are impressed with him, but he's not going to get over like Goldberg got over in that same manner. So just absolute garbage for Ryback, and Sandow needs somebody to stand against. He needs a Hornswoggle. He needs a Zack Ryder. He needs somebody that, you know, a goofball that he can stand against, and I think he would be fantastic. I mean, honest to God, if that's what your plan is, if you got Hornswoggle and Zack Ryder and Santino Marella and those sorts of characters out there that you want to push down people's throats, then let him do it via Damian Sandow, because at least that guy can make it interesting. We get another commercial after that. Come back to a video recapping the Triple H versus Brock Lesnar second segment. It was a recap, not a replay. Rey Mysterio and Kane make their entrance. Another commercial. Daniel Bryan and Alberto Del Rio outlast. And Del Rio, I think, was in a Ferrari. They said, "I glanced away and then didn't get a chance to see the car." But I thought they said Ferrari. Sixth and final match of the night. Again, Alberto Del Rio becoming the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship at 13:26. Lots of fun in this match. Lots of near falls. Lots of non-finishes with guys breaking up pinfalls. Anybody that's played a wrestling video game out there, the SmackDown versus Raws or the WWE All-Stars. I have not played the new WWE 12 yet, so I can't speak to it. But I assume it's probably the same way. Those triple threat and four-way matches are friggin' ridiculous. You can have the other two guys over there beating each other up, and you can get one guy over in the corner and beat him to death and cover him, and the other two guys will just, and you can end up beating all three guys to death. And you basically have to hit three finishers in a row to be able to win a match. It gets to a point of absurdity where no matter what you do, you cover guys and the other guys are covering time to break up your pinfall. It's so frustrating. But it was a lot like that. And so when you're not playing the game, it's kind of fun to watch, you know, the falsies that they got through it. A couple of good ones with, Del Rio about to tap to the yes lock, but Kane stopping Del Rio's arm, and Daniel Bryan, you know, being shocked at it and getting punched in the face, and the finish comes, you know, on a screw job is what it comes down to. You have Rey Mysterio ends up hitting 619 on both Daniel Bryan and Del Rio, climbs to the top rope and hits the, what I call the sperm splash, where he just puts his hands together and kind of falls off. To me, he just looks like, you know, like a sperm swimming upstream. Maybe I just have a weird brain. But he hits that weird splash that he does on the top rope on Daniel Bryan and covers, and because it's a no disqualification moment, Ricardo Rodriguez snatches him out of the ring on the two count. Del Rio flips over onto top of Bryan and hooks the leg for the victory. So we get interference by Ricardo Rodriguez to put Del Rio over the top. It's not really a chicken shit heel type move. It doesn't hurt him in any real way. It doesn't add any heat to him, but it doesn't make him look crazy cheap where you had to, you know, hide the thing or whatever. It's the rules of the game, and maybe you should have had a second out there, Daniel Bryan, and that wouldn't have happened, or Rey Mysterio. But you know, at the end of the day, like I said, it's just not a great win for Del Rio. It was a fun match and one I would recommend watching, like I said, because it's entertaining. But it didn't do anything for the guy, and he doesn't do anything for me. I don't think he does anything for a lot of people out there. So not a great SmackDown for WWE in the end. It was a primarily entertaining 2 hours. It dragged around Ryback, Sandow, Cesaro, even though I love those guys. Just the way they're being used, it just kind of dragged around them. We had a couple of long matches that were fun to watch. The Jericho and Ziggler moment was very good. So, you know, it certainly had a lot of good moments, but the whole show's kind of a miss because it didn't accomplish anything. You know, Ziggler and Jericho got a little more heat. They're going to be at SummerSlam. My guess is, or my hope is, that Ziggler does something really badass to put, you know, Jericho out, quote-unquote, so we can go do this tour that I might go see him and Shinedown. Fozzy is, of course, Chris Jericho's band, and he's on the, I think it's the Rockstar Energy Tour. And my 15-year-old daughter and I are talking about going together. That's kind of cool and upsetting. But at any rate, so, I mean, that advanced, and, yeah, we crowned the number one contender, but I don't know if I could be more bored than Del Rio right now. You know, nobody else in that match was really the right guy either, so he was the best of the bunch. Ray needs to build up a little bit since his return. I think he ends up in this match ultimately. I think we get two heels and a baby face in the WWE title with CM Punk and Big Show versus Cena, even though it's a triple threat. And I think we get two baby faces and a heel in this side with Sheamus and Ray versus Del Rio, even though technically it's a triple threat. So, I think we get kind of mirror images of the two. That's how they're going to do it, to make the two matches wildly different from each other, because they'll have to be wrestled differently. It'll feel differently to the crowd. But we'll see. We still got several weeks. We've got, 4 weeks left, I guess it is, until SummerSlam. So a lot of things left to change for SmackDown. And that is all I've got for SmackDown this week. It's kind of a thumbs middle show. Usually don't do thumbs up or down, but you know, it's kind of the best way to call it. So it's just a miss. It just seems like it was entertaining for the most part, but just wasted time. It's, you know, I had a good time, but I could have done better things with my time than that. And WWE certainly could have as well. So that's all for SmackDown this week. So let's talk about Raw coming up, the 1001 episode of Raw coming up this Monday. Of course, Raw 1001 is going to come down to two major events. They've got 3 hours to fill, and this is the first three-hour programming they've had to fill. You know, yes, the Raw 1001 was 3 hours. I realize that. I watched the whole show. But my point is that was a special show, and they had things built into it. I mean, obviously, they opened with DX. You have the return of Undertaker, which I think is just for that moment. I don't think we're going to see him that much, if at all. But it was a special show. It had stuff going on. This is the first three-hour show, and really the first three-hour show they might have ever done where, you know, well, I guess I would say it is the first three-hour show that they've ever done where the entire show is devoted to just your weekly storylines. There is nothing special about this three-hour Raw because Raw is now permanently 3 hours. We've been through Why It's a Mistake, and members are certainly aware of that. And if you want to know more on my opinions about that and Jason Powell's opinions on that, then certainly sign up to be a .NET member. Again, check out all the old audio there for you guys. But this is, you know, we have to see what they're going to do. And in the past, it's been a little bit easier to forgive some of the silly stuff that happens because, you know it's a special Raw, and that's how they describe it. And so, you know, anytime you hear special Raw, you kind of roll your eyes and know what's going on. This is not so special, and it will be special for a couple of weeks to some degree, and that gives me cause for concern for the first few weeks. But eventually they're going to have to settle in, and, you know, I wonder when the camp comedy goes from being, oh, we're doing it because it's a special thing, to just filler because they have no other ideas, or they're too lazy to come up with more ideas, or they're too scared to come up with more ideas, or, you know, depending on what person you're talking about, you know, whether it's the writers, whether it's Vince, you know, they're too whatever to come up with anything else. And so, you know, we really have to watch this show. This is going to be the first show to kind of give us an idea of how they're going to use that third hour. Just because they have campy stuff this coming week, I mean, if they have it, doesn't mean it's necessarily always going to be there, but it does give you pause because, like I said, it's, our biggest fear is that that third hour becomes just variety hour for all intents and purposes. And obviously, it won't happen all in the same hour. It'll be spread throughout the show, but basically, you'll be able to go out and count about an hour's worth of programming that was, you know, Chuckles the Clown and Guy Smiley and all that sort of stuff. So, That's the fear. But we find out this Monday as that goes on. So I guess there's three big things. There's that is, what are we going to get from a three-hour Raw? The second thing, the return of Randy Orton, who comes back from his 60-day suspension for a wellness violation. Again, no confirmation for sure on what caused that violation. We've certainly heard things. But, you know, there's no way to really confirm that. WWE does not give that away. You know, he was originally supposed to be a big part of St. Louis, which was where Raw 1000 was, because that is his hometown. He was supposed to be a big part of what they had going on with Raw 1000. He was not able to be involved with that because of his suspension. You know, the question on everybody's mind is, what are they going to do with him when he comes back? It's two suspensions. If he gets another one, he's gone. He's fired for a year. He can you know, try to come back after a year, and I'm sure they would let Randy Orton come back after a year, but, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to just go, well, you know, I think Randy made a stupid mistake and he's learned from it, and we're going to go ahead and push him like it looked like they were going to, and like some of the advertising hinted that they were going to, and he may yet be the person that ends up in that triple threat match that I think is going to happen at SummerSlam for the World Heavyweight Championship. Jason Powell thinks he might end up in a tag match on the WWE Raw side to push out Cena Punk a little bit farther. However, you know, whatever they do with Orton, I do think he's going to get pushed. I don't think he's going to be punished in any way. You know, I expect Evan Bourne to come back and job like it's nobody's business for a long time, but I expect Randy Orton to come back and be pushed. And we will find out. I think we will get a very quick indication of what they're going to do with Randy Orton come Monday night on the 1000th of what? Is that would that be right? 1001st? 1001st. 1001st episode of Raw. And then, of course, number three and arguably the biggest story of the week, the hell is going on with CM Punk? Of course, CM Punk hitting the GTS on the Rock to close out Raw this week, to close out Raw 1000. Really feel-good moment for me to see, you know, CM Punk, the guy standing at the top of Raw 1000. It was nice to see Vince take a chance there, and I really appreciated it. I did. We've been real critical, and rightfully so, in recent history, because they've been safe, and yes, it's these same guys, but it's, you know, it was CM Punk. It was not John Cena. At the end of the 1,000th episode of Raw, and I really think that some people need to think about this, certainly some internet fans that, you know, they're always screaming about Cena, and I'm bored of the guy, too, don't get me wrong, but, and I'm not trying to rub anything in their face. I'm just saying, you know, look, maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope because, you know, it's a small hope. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny glimmer of hope. But it's more than we would have got last week. I mean, let's think about this. Six months ago, if I had said to you Raw 1000 is going to happen, and that day CM Punk is going to cash in Money in the Bank, he's going to cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase to challenge CM Punk for the title. A, you would have just died right there because you would have gone, oh, God dang it, he's going to win because the person with the briefcase always wins. And I would have said, no, actually, it's not only is Punk going to win, Punk is going to lay the Rock out and be the guy standing tall at the end of the show. Most of you hearing the sound of my voice would have never come back to .net again because you would have been like, that guy is out of his mind. Cena and The Rock laid out, Punk lays out The Rock. Cena is the first guy to fail to cash in Money in the Bank. Dude, get professional help. And yet, that's what we got. So, don't get me wrong. They can still screw this up. I have every faith in WWE's ability to screw this up. But it does say something. And I want to kind of give that credit there. It does say something that in the biggest moment of WWE's existence, you know, in the John Cena era, in what everybody still believes is still the John Cena era, in the biggest moment of the John Cena era, it was not John Cena standing there holding up the WWE Championship to end the biggest, you know, to have that, to end that main event moment in the biggest show of John Cena's career. And, some would argue it might have been WrestleMania, but I'm thinking about it from a money standpoint, that would be correct. But just, you know, I think as far as historic moment with it being the 1000th Raw, you know, there's no question that it's one of those, you know, flags in the ground. It's a benchmark that people will point to. And at that moment, it wasn't John Cena, Guy Smiley with the belt. It was snarling CM Punk laying out The Rock. And kind of makes me interested to see what they're going to do with it on the 1001 episode. I don't know. Again, they can screw this up, but God dang it, they made the right first step. It's hard to complain about that. That's for sure. So we will find out Monday night. Jason Powell will be along for live coverage starting at the new start time, 7 p.m. Central Time. Raw goes to 3 hours officially last week. This is our first week of nothing but storylines involved with that 3 hours. The build to SummerSlam really kicks into gear now. We only have one match confirmed, Brock Lesnar versus Triple H there, and then I'm sure there'll be probably a stipulation added to that somewhere down the road so they can beat the crap out of each other. And then, you know, lots of guesses for title matches and something with Daniel Bryan and Charlie Sheen. So make sure you join Jason Powell for coverage, again, starting at the new start time at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Jason will also be doing a WWE Raw audio breakdown, very similar to this one, on Monday night. The biggest difference between the two, though, that one, again, just for our members. If you'd like to hear Jason break down Raw this coming Monday night, listen to Jason and I break down Raw from this last week. Check out any of the old interviews. Jason most recently interviewed Violent J of the Insane Clown Posse. Those of you who are looking at your MP3 players and stereos right now going, why in the blue hell would I want to listen to an interview with Violent J from the Insane Clown Posse? Listen to the interview. If you haven't heard it yet, if you're a member and you haven't heard it, it's a pretty good interview. And what he has to say I thought was very interesting. It was not at all the interview I thought it was going to be, and it's worth listening to. So check it out. If you're not and you're going, really? Yeah, head on over to ProWrestling.net. Click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .net member sign up. Get started and check out the interview with Violent J of the Insane Clown Posse. I think a lot of you guys will appreciate it. They say what you want about ICP. They love wrestling. There's no question about it. They have heart for it, and they take it very serious. And they put out the new Chris Benoit single and or video. So lot of interesting stuff there. So check that out on the site by signing up to be a .NET member. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Jake Barnett is on vacation again next week, though I may con someone to come in and do audio with me next week. Until then, my name is Chris Shore. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for your continued support of ProWrestling.net. I will talk to you next week. Take care.